And we're back for another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. No Tyler or Kyle this week. I'm solo dolo this week. I'm going to be jumping into the waiver wire ads. My opinions of the Pittsburgh Steelers offense and breaking down some guys you might want to roster for the rest of the season. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's the Wire.
It's the Wire.
D. Griffey. This the Wire, serving up a hot take. Around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4-8. Trading with the base, that Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in their lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train with a hype at? Yeah, you wanna start them, but matches, you might not like that. Three tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Todd, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All right, as I mentioned, we're gonna do some waiver wire guys, the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, and then break down some of the injuries and some guys we want to stash for the remainder of the season. Starting with the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, this is one where a lot of people have their hands in, right? We have Ben Roethlisberger, Najee Harris, Juju Smith-Schuster, Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth in some dynasty leagues or deep, you know, two tight end leagues. And then Eric Ebron was somebody who you probably looked at the end of your bench in certain leagues. Turns out the tight ends are pretty much completely useless this year. I think Freiermuth is a bright future, but just not right now. What's very interesting to me is Najee Harris leads the NFL at the running back position in receptions. His targets have gone 3, 5, 19 last week, and then 7 this week. He has 26 total catches on the year. It's definitely something that we would love to keep maintaining happening. But the thing with Najee is he's on the field for like 97% of the snaps. It's very difficult, especially considering Alvin Kamara is next at like 80% of the snaps. 97% is a running back where you're picking up blitzes, you're running the ball, you're catching the ball out of the backfield. It's a lot of wear and tear. It's something that I'm a little concerned with for Najee Harris going forward. But the real gist of it is the wide receiver position in Big Ben Roethlisberger. You know, with Juju playing 4 games, Claypool missed this week, and then Deontay Johnson missed last week. It's one of those things where we can kind of see how the targets are going to break up when all three are healthy, right? When Deontay Johnson is healthy, he's getting 31.25% of the snap. 31.25% of the targets. In the 3 games he's played, he's had 10, 12, and 13 targets. And what's insane is those are games where Ben has had 30, 32, 40, and 40 targets, passing attempts. He missed the game where Ben threw the ball 58 times. He probably could have gotten 17, 18 targets. So he is the clear head of the room, in my opinion. He's just as young as Claypool. I think he's a year older. And what really is to monitor is Juju's been kind of like that third fiddle, that kind of the guy you can rely on, but don't really put a lot of weight in. He's only getting 15.8% of the targets. And then Claypool, when healthy, has gotten 22.3% of the targets. Now, what's slightly concerning is there's no touchdowns coming from the air attack. Through 4 games, Ben has 1,033 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on a 64% completion percentage. It's what's concerning is Claypool is one of those guys where was so touchdown dependent last year, and his skill set is based off of touchdowns. He's a big, strong receiver, a deep threat. You know, it's one of those things. He high point a ball, but he's not really getting any red zone looks. He's not really getting any red zone touchdowns. He doesn't have any touchdowns on the year. Deontay has two, Najee has one, and Freiermuth has the other of Ben's passing touchdowns. The offense isn't scoring much, which is kind of hurting them a little bit, but you know, it's really showing that, Big Ben is not the same quarterback he used to be. 4 or 5 years ago, this offense is almost unstoppable with these three targets and this running back, right? With Juju and Antonio Brown, they were lighting up defenses left and right. Especially with a lineup coming up of teams where they play Denver, Seattle, they have a bye, Cleveland, Chicago, and Detroit. There's definitely some plus matchups. I think Denver is overrated, of course. They're not really a 3-1 team. Seattle does not have a good defense. They're on a bye. Cleveland, it's going to be a shootout. And then they play Chicago, Detroit, which is going to be 2+ matchups. The other thing to really remember is the playoffs, right? In your fantasy football playoffs, they're playing against the Tennessee Titans, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Cleveland Browns. I think all three are plus matchups. Kansas City does have a solid defense, but Pittsburgh's going to have to keep up with them. So I do like it. It's just, I don't know how much I trust Ben Roethlisberger anymore. I really don't. But we did have some injuries coming in this week. The big one was Thursday night with DJ Chark. He broke his leg right before he could even get targeted. He hurt me in one or two leagues. Unfortunately for him, he has a broken leg. He's on injured reserve and a contract year going into next year. It's going to be, as far as dynasty aspect for him, it's going to be hard to monitor going forward because, you know, he's had one really good year in his career. This year, it's only week four when he gets injured. And then year one was kind of, wishy-washy for him. He's never had a true quarterback until now, and he doesn't even get to really play with him. So he's going to get one of those one-year prove-it deals, probably go to New England or Kansas City or he's either going to go in a place where he can be the alpha wide receiver or with a legitimate quarterback, because that would be the way to rejuvenate his career coming off of a broken leg. LaVisca Chenault really took over after the injury with 7 targets, 6 receptions, 99 yards. Marvin Jones took a step back this week, only 3 receptions on 3 targets with 24 yards. I anticipate Marvin Jones being a much more of a focal point in the offense. I think Visca's going to get about, 6-7 targets, but I also think Jones is going to get about 6 or 7 each week as well. They're not a good football team. It's going to be trailing a lot. They're not going to be playing ahead much like they were this week. Joe Mixon hurt his ankle. He's considered week to week. And then also David Montgomery. We're waiting on MRI results when I'm recording this, but they're not considering it to be an ACL, MCL, anything serious. So most likely it's either a bone bruise or a hyperextension of the knee. With these two going down, the top two waiver guys of the week are definitely Damian Williams and Samaje Perine. Damian had a good week regardless of Mixon going down, because when they were both playing, Damian had 8 rushes, 55 yards, and a touchdown, as well as two catches for 15 yards. If Mixon misses 2 or 3 weeks, he's a legitimate starting running back. He's shown it when his time with Kansas City. He did miss last year because he stepped out because of COVID. I'm definitely putting him higher on the radar than I am Samaje Perine, simply due to the fact that we don't know what Perine is as a player yet. We still have Chris Evans there, who's going to get some targets, and it's a passing offense where I don't think they're going to really run the ball much. They're going to be losing. They're not going to be playing from ahead much. Damian Williams is definitely the ad of the week for me. With Jimmy Garoppolo going down, which it sounds like he's going to miss a couple weeks, he really sounded like he was aggravated with his injury history, as most of us are as well. Considered to miss a few weeks, Trey Lance stepped in and had a rookie quarterback day. 50% completion percentage, 9 of 18, 157 yards and 2 touchdowns. One of them was a blown coverage on like a 75-yard at the depot where they just decided not to cover him. The funny quote of the week for me was on the call, they said, "Oh my God, how do you get that open?" And that's as he's running down the sidelines. He also ran 7 times for 41 yards. That's where his real fantasy appeal is going to be in his legs. What really concerned me with Trey Lance is I feel like his internal clock is a little too fast. I feel like he stepped back 1-2. All right, I got to run. Nobody's open. It's one of those things where it's going to hurt George Kittle a little bit more than it is going to be to help him in the throwing game, simply due to the fact that when you check down, it's typically on, you know, the quick passing offense. More mobile quarterbacks typically, you know, the play breaks down, they break outside of the pocket. Like, you know, you see with Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, you don't really see guys that, you know, check down quickly when they're athletic quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, et cetera, et cetera. The less mobile quarterbacks typically use quick releases as a way to move the sticks, move the chains a little bit, get up and down the field. So typically the running back and tight end position is what ends up getting the drop in production due to mobile quarterbacks, in my opinion. But George Kittle is a top 3 tight end in the game. And I am not really concerned, but I think it lowers his ceiling just slightly. With Teddy Bridgewater going down with a concussion, Drew Lock stepped in and did not look good. You know, 12 of 21, 133 yards and an interception. He only had 3.5 fantasy points. That offense is just trending down for me. It's trending down is because you have Jerry Jeudy out. You have KJ Hamler out. And then now you have Teddy Bridgewater out. It seems like they're going to really rely on the running game with Drew Lock. Teddy Bridgewater, I now know, is a much better quarterback than Drew Lock, based off the fact that when Drew Lock came in, that offense did not look good. It just simply did not look good. So as far as the waiver wire this week, we have quite a few guys. Some guys to monitor, some guys to definitely add, and some guys that, you know, are going to be hot ads, but I just don't believe in myself. Like I said before, Damian Williams is going to be my number one ad of the week, because when you can get a number one running back on an offense who's pretty much going to get all of the touches for the next couple of weeks, kind of like Chuba Hubbard is going to do, I'm going to lean with Damian Williams. Especially if I'm a David Montgomery owner, I am adding Damian Williams everywhere. Dalton Schultz has shown that he is a legitimate tight end. He's also shown that he is going to be the number one tight end in Dallas, and that Jarwin just isn't the guy this year. He's owned in 34% of leagues, and he's on back-to-back big weeks. If I'm one of those streaming tight end teams, I'm adding Dalton Schultz, and I'm playing matchups, definitely. Samaje Perine, with being only owned in 3% of leagues, I'm not really spending a lot of fab. I'm not spending the number one waiver claim on Samaje Perine, mostly because I just don't believe in it, and it doesn't seem like Mixon's going to miss more than a week or two. Chris Evans is still there, and they're going to throw the ball a lot. 3 extremely talented wide receivers on the outside, and they're going to be trailing a lot in games. I'm staying away from this backfield. I was even when Mixon was healthy, but especially without Joe Mixon. Devontae Parker is only owned in 38% of leagues. This is one that actually surprised me quite a bit, because I was expecting him to be owned in quite more, and I didn't anticipate him being a waiver wire ad. Being the number one wide receiver on a team, regardless of if Tua Tagovailoa is hurt or not, I still like Parker, especially as a flex play, somebody to fill in bye weeks or injuries. His targets so far this year are 7, 9, 7, and 9. 4 catches in all but 1 week where he had 5. And his fantasy production has gone 12, 9, 8, and 18. You know, this week I'm definitely staying away when they're playing against Tampa Bay. But after that, they play Jacksonville, Atlanta, Buffalo, Houston, Baltimore, the Jets. Of those matchups, only two of them really scare me. But we've also seen that Tampa Bay is kind of, with all the injuries in their secondary, you may be able to attack them on the outside, and that's where Parker makes his living. So I really like Parker. I'm astonished that he's only owned in 38% of leagues. I'm adding him in quite a few leagues this week. Alex Collins surprisingly took over quite a bit of touches in the Seattle backfield. He's only owned in 2% of leagues, but he pretty much split the touches in the backfield with Chris Carson, who just didn't look very explosive this week. I'm monitoring this backfield going forward. I'm not picking up Alex Collins anywhere. And I'm also not, if I'm adding him, starting him anywhere. Unless something happens to Chris Carson, Alex Collins is not going to be fantasy relevant. But it is something to know. He is the guy to own because Rashad Penny has gone back on injured reserve. Kenny Gainwell, owned in 29% of leagues. Miles Sanders has pretty much just gone non-existent so far in the last couple weeks. It's kind of odd to me, but Gainwell is only playing about 33 to 39% of the snaps each week. But what's really interesting to me is he's getting at least three targets a week. His targets have gone 3, 3, 4, and 8. And his fantasy production has gone 12, 7, 6, and 21, scoring two rushing touchdowns on the ground. And he's averaging 4.5 yards a carry and 8 yards per catch. I typically stay away from running backs who are going to be targeted out of the backfield with athletic quarterbacks. But Kenny Gainwell is somebody to monitor, and he's somebody I'm buying low on in Dynasty. I'm definitely monitoring if somebody's willing to give him up for a two. I'm definitely looking to add Kenny Gainwell. Darnell Mooney, owned in 37% of leagues. He's looking like the Chris Olave for Justin Fields. Justin Fields looked a little bit more comfortable this week. The numbers weren't really there, but you know who they were there for is Darnell Mooney. With Mooney getting 7 targets, 5 catches, 125 yards, and a 10-yard catch, he's 18.5 fantasy points against Detroit. Maybe a little inflated because it's a bad team, but again, they do have some positive matchups coming up, especially towards the end of the season. Right now, they do have a line of the Raiders, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, all in a row. But after that, you have Detroit, Arizona, Green Bay, Minnesota, Seattle, the Giants, where it gets a little bit looser towards the end of the season. He's somebody I'm adding as a bye week guy, as an injury guy, and somebody I can play matchups with later in the season. Randall Cobb, I'm staying away. I can't really trust anybody outside of Adams or Aaron Jones in the backfield. You don't know who's going to be the number two. Yeah, he had 2 touchdowns this week, but it could be Alan Lazard next week. It could be MVS next week. It could be Robert Tonyan finally being targeted in the passing game. I'm staying away from Randall Cobb. If you have an open spot and you want to take a flyer on him, shoot, go for it. It's not going to hurt you, but it's not somebody I anticipate really being fantasy relevant year round. I have 2 tight ends here, Max Williams and CJ Uzuma. These are guys I'm staying away from, but somebody I'm monitoring going forward. Max Williams, owned in 1% of leagues, has had back-to-back weeks of fantasy production, and he's definitely the number one tight end in that offense. CJ Uzuma had a career week this week. I don't anticipate it really transitioning well going forward. I don't anticipate him being somebody I'm relying on. If you're hit by injuries or if you have to do a bye week, sure, you can pick up one of these guys and play matchups. I do believe in Uzuma a little bit more. Actually, you know what? Wrong. I believe in Max Williams slightly more than Uzuma because, you know, Kyler is targeting him a little bit more inside the 20. The last one is Van Jefferson being owned in 5% of leagues. Van was somebody I targeted last year as a rookie in a couple dynasty leagues and took a flyer on. My issue with him is he's a 25-year-old second-year player, and he's the wide receiver 4 on the team. And he's arguably the sixth option on the offense. I know the offense is somebody we all want a piece of. They're kind of like the third or fourth best offense in the league right now. But when you have the running game with Darrell Henderson, and then you have Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and Tyler Higbee above him, as well as I still have DeSean Jackson above him because he brings a little bit more to the table. Van Jefferson still has had some really good weeks. Week one, he had 2 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. This week, he had 6 for 90 and a touchdown. Last week, 4 for 42. It's going to be up and down for Van Jefferson. I don't really believe in him too much fantasy-wise going forward. In a deep league, in a 12 or 14 team league with a good sized bench or dynasty league, sure, I'd add him and see what happens. But I'm not really spending any high waiver claims, fab, or draft capital to pick up Van Jefferson. Four players that I'm looking at and I'm really monitoring going forward that are most likely on your team. Robert Tonyan. He's somebody who's really struggled lately. Lately, I mean all year. He's had one game over 10 yards. Week one, he had 2 catches for 8 yards. Week two, he did go 3 for 52 and a touchdown, but then he goes 1 catch, 6 yards and 2 catches, 8 yards. It's very odd considering how much he was using the red zone. I knew there would be touchdown regression, but I didn't expect him to be virtually not used in the offense. I know he had 7 targets this week, but only having 8 yards, 6 yards, and 8 yards in 3 of his 4 games is very concerning to me. Somebody who you probably picked up in the late and to start as your tight end late in drafts, or somebody you drafted 2 tight ends and you're playing matchups. Robert Tonyan is somebody who was probably a high end guy in that category, and he's just flat out not producing. If you drafted him and Gronk and you were lucky enough to get Gronk a couple weeks, congratulations. But if you between him and Jonnu Smith or him and Hunter Henry, it's like it's you're learning what happens in the tight end position if you don't get one of those top 5 or 6 guys. Miles Gaskin this week, something must have happened. He must be banged up. He had 2 rushes for 3 yards and 0 targets, only played 23% of the snaps, and was out-snapped and touched by Malcolm Brown. I anticipated Brown to have a good role coming in this year, being a power back that Gaskin isn't, but for Brown to get 67% of the snaps, 8 rushes, 23 yards, and the only target out of the backfield, I was kind of not expecting it. They have Tampa Bay next week, and I'm staying away from Miles Gaskin altogether. Even if he's healthy and Malcolm Brown is inactive for some reason, I'm still not touching Miles Gaskin because Tampa Bay has the best front seven in the NFL right now, and I think they have the second best rush defense behind Carolina. Jalen Reagor is being out-targeted by Quez Watkins. He only had 1 target for 9 yards. Quez Watkins had 7 targets this week. Reagor is kind of fading a little bit and being in that wide receiver by committee behind the tight ends and Devontae Smith, and it's really showing that there's a gap there. He's in the middle of a weird circle between him, Quez Watkins, and Greg Ward. And Reagor is just somebody who's not going to be fantasy relevant. He's not, unless something happens and the offense changes. I just don't like the fit for Jalen Reagor. A.J. Dillon this week, 15 rushes, 81 yards, and he had a 16-yard catch. He looked good. He looked very explosive, very strong, and he was running downhill. The thing with A.J. Dillon, he's going to be clock killing A.J. Dillon, and that's exactly what's going to happen this week when they play against Cincinnati, a game where they're going to have a positive game script, and they're going to try to monitor and keep Aaron Jones healthy all year. I anticipate this being closer to a 65-35 split where Jones gets the 65% of the touches. But this is something to know. If Aaron Jones does miss a week, A.J. Dillon is arguably a top 15 running back that week. Last segment we have here is a couple guys that are going to be coming back from injury in the next week or two. I have 6 players here that I'm going to talk about really quickly just to finish off the episode, just to discuss, if you have an IR spot or end of the bench where you can kind of fill. Number 1 is easily Michael Thomas. He should be back around week 7, week 8. He's owned in 78% of the league. So that still means that there's 22% of leagues that are he's available in. I know there's going to be, you know, so realistically, we're talking about 10 or 15% where you can go out and add Michael Thomas. If he comes back and it's still Jameis Winston as a starting quarterback, I see him getting 7 to 10 targets a week. He is clearly better than any other pass catcher they have outside of Alvin Kamara. And it actually does take some pressure off of Kamara. Number two is Jarvis Landry. He should be back in about 2 weeks. He's owned in 65% of leagues. He's somebody I'm not overly excited to have to carry if I'm holding him in a redraft league. But, you know, he's arguably better than Odell Beckham is now in this point of his career. Michael Gallup is in the same situation. He's going to be the wide receiver 3 in Dallas. Owned in 47% of leagues. He should be back in about 2 weeks as well. He's interesting more in the dynasty aspect where if you can add him for somebody who's just aggravated with him, if you can add him, he could come out and be the wide receiver 1 in a team that needs a wide receiver, right? If Allen Robinson leaves the Bears and Michael Gallup goes there, or Michael Gallup goes to New England, or, you know, Jacksonville, it goes to be the number 2 behind Terry McLaurin. There's a lot of openings for a wide receiver. Michael Gallup is somebody I'm targeting, kind of like how Corey Davis went out and got paid to be the number 1 for the Jets. I anticipate Michael Gallup being better than Corey Davis. Rashad Bateman is the last wide receiver on this list. He should be back next week, I believe. He's owned in 25% of leagues. I actually went out and added him in 3 leagues this week with an open roster spot just to take a flyer. I'm expecting him to come on very slow because he did miss a majority of the snaps and playing time in the preseason. The thing with Bateman is I don't anticipate him hurting Marquise Brown so much as I do him taking the reps away from Sammy Watkins as that big physical receiver. I do like Bateman. I think he's a very good wide receiver. My issue is I don't think the volume is going to be there for somebody. And he doesn't take the top off of defense the way Marquise Brown can. My last two are Tariq Cohen and Jeff Wilson. Tariq Cohen is somebody who's only owned in 9% of leagues, so most likely he is available in your league. Things have been very quiet on fronts for Tariq Cohen. I anticipate if he does come back, coming back week 10, I believe that is the last week they can come back off of PUP. If not, then he'll stay on injured reserve for the rest of the year. Surprisingly, we're getting closer to week 6 when a lot of these PUP players come off of that list, but we haven't heard anything on Tariq Cohen. I'm not even sure if he's running yet. So he's somebody to monitor if he starts practicing or if he starts, you know, getting some reports coming out of camp. He's somebody I'd look to stash on your bench because we've seen him come in and put 15-point weeks up consistently in the NFL. The last one, and arguably the most important one to me, is Jeffrey Wilson with San Francisco. I don't believe in Trey Sermon. It took 4 injuries for him to become the number 1 running back, and he's underwhelming me. Only getting 8.9 fantasy points and being 95% of the touches out of the backfield concerns me. Jeff Wilson has shown when he's the running back 1 for San Francisco that he can put up 30-point weeks, averaging 8, 9, 10 yards a carry in some games. I know there's a lot of people that says he's only had 4 fantasy-relevant games, but the issue is 4 out of 6 fantasy-relevant games, when you're in a timeshare and you're putting up better numbers than other people, show me something. Now, with Eli Mitchell most likely coming back in the next week or two, and then Jamichael Hasty coming back in 2 weeks and Jeff Wilson coming back in 2 weeks, it's going to be one of those things where I think Shanahan tries to keep everybody healthy, but I think Jeff Wilson is going to be the one that comes back and has the freshest legs because he's missing 6 weeks of the NFL season. He hasn't been hurt since last year. He's rehabbing rather than beating a nagging injury like an ankle or a hamstring or something like that, like these other guys are dealing with. I think Jeff Wilson is a very good power back with some decent speed. And he's shown that he has the ability to rush for over 150 yards in a game. I'm adding Jeff Wilson everywhere I can, and I'm stashing him with the hopes that I get the running back number one in San Francisco. I know it's a little bit of a monotonous episode, but, you know, just being me by myself this week, last minute, hopefully I got you some information and you got to feel my feelings for a lot of these guys. Next week, we should have the whole gang back together. Hopefully we follow up another good fantasy week with nothing crazy happening, you know, outside of, you know, a couple sprained ankles and concussions and, you know, hyperextensions, things like that. Nothing serious happened outside of DJ Chark's broken leg, which is good news. But hopefully it continues because none of us want to see injuries happen, right? So that's all I have for this week. Thank you for listening in, and feel free to join back in next week.